This week we will discuss revering the Torah. The Torah commands us to follow the instructions of the Rabbanim in each generation. Chazal explained that no matter the greatness of the leading Chachamim, we are obligated to heed their guidance. Though Yiftach was no comparison to Shmuel Hanavi in greatness, the people of his generation were nevertheless obligated to hold him in equal regard. The Sefer HaChinuch writes that one who disregards their advice is forfeiting a mitzvah aseh and deserves great punishment, for this is a firm pillar upon which the Torah stands, as can be understood by anyone with understanding. Chazal say that one should regard the current Chachamim just as those from the previous generation. One should not say, if Rabbi Akiva would be with us, I would learn from him. If Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Yochanan were alive, I would learn with them. Rather, he should consider the Chachamim of his own generation with the full respect. This is the meaning of Shlomo HaMelech's words, do not justify yourself by saying that the earlier days were better than these. Chazal say, one who doubts his Rebbe, HaMaharher Achar Raboy, is regarded as if he doubted the Shechina. A chosid of the Tzemach Tzedek once went to hear Rabbi Yisrael of Viladnik. As the tzaddik spoke, he thought to himself, I don't need to listen to him, he's not my Rebbe, I have a different Rebbe. Rabbi Yisrael sensed his thoughts and said, HaMaharer Achar Raboy, whoever frees himself from listening, since this isn't his Rebbe, for he has a different Rebbe from the word Acher, is regarded as if he doubted the Shechina. The chassid who was standing behind Rabbi Yisrael assured himself, Rabbi Yisrael is certainly not referring to me. But Rabbi Yisrael added, HaMaharer Achar Raboy, whoever has doubts when he is behind Achar his Rebbe, is regarded as if he doubted the Shechina. The Rebbe Rashab and the Chofetz Chaim held each other in high esteem. Rebbe Nzion Maroz, a Tamim in Lubavitch, once related that he personally witnessed how when the Chofetz Chaim came on a visit, the Rebbe Rashab went out to greet him with outstretched arms. The author of Ksois HaChoshen, a staunch Misnagid, was a Rav of Staria, the hometown of many Chassidim of the eminent Tzaddik, the Choyza of Lublin. Feeling that the Chassidim were defying the Shulchan Aruch, the Rav reproved them, and when they ignored him, he pronounced upon them a cherem of 30 days. The townsmen adhered to his ruling and kept their distance from the Chassidim, who after a while decided to go off and spend the rest of the 30 days with their Rebbe in Lublin. However, to their surprise, the Rebbe told his shamus not to admit them for another 2 weeks and a few days, for as long as the cherem was still in effect. When they were finally admitted to his presence, the Choyza reprimanded them for not fully respecting their Rav. He explained that the Torah requires one to respect the Talmud Chacham absolutely, despite his possible lack in some area of Avodas Hashem. After the Mezitcher Magid passed away, each of his Talmidim was allotted a region in which to spread the teachings of Chassidus. Russia was apportioned to the Alter Rebbe. Reb Shlomo Karliner, one of his colleagues, once considered moving his community of Chassidim to a town in the Alter Rebbe's territory, and he asked the Alter Rebbe for permission. The Alter Rebbe agreed on three conditions: that Reb Shlomo would not speak disrespectfully of the non-Chassidic Lomdim, that he would not belittle the natural Yiras Shemayim that Yidden have, and that his Chassidim would be encouraged to attain Kedusha on their own and not rely solely on the Kedusha of their Rebbe. Reb Shlomo agreed to the first two conditions, but not to the third, and finally settled elsewhere. Even when the Chassidim suffered at the hands of the Misnagdim, the Alter Rebbe urges Chassidim to treat their Rabbonim and Talmidei Chachamim with respect, despite their sharp differences in Avodas Hashem. After the Alter Rebbe was imprisoned due to a libel perpetrated by several Misnagdim, the Chassidim were reasonably angry and were once again tempted to voice their opinion against the Misnagdim. In a second letter to his Chassidim, the Alter Rebbe warns them not to speak negatively about the Talmidei Chachamim who are not part of our group. Even if these Talmidei Chachamim speak out against the Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim, it is the listener who must do tshuva, since it is his own negative behavior which has caused them to speak like this. Hashem is my witness that the above is all true and not chas v'shalom a pretense due to fear. The Alter Rebbe concludes, I am sure that for the true Hasidim these words will be enough. However, since there are those who profess themselves as Hasidim, who think they will impress other Hasidim by speaking negatively about the Misnagdim, I therefore demand that anyone who hears another speak disrespectfully, even in jest, report it to me, so that I will know to ban them from visiting me. Is it permissible to give ribbis to tzedakah? Someone pledged a number of donations to a shul for aliyas he'd received, and told the gabbai that he would pay them before Rosh Hashanah. When the year came to a close, his financial situation was tight, so he assured the gabbai that he would pay up in a few months and add a compensation for the late payment. The gabbai agreed. Does adding money to the original amount due pose a concern regarding ribbis? The answer is as follows. Ordinarily, adding to a sum owed is an outright form of ribbis ktsutza, which is prohibited min haTorah. However, in our situation, the halacha depends on how we view the nature of the obligation to fulfill a pledge to tzedakah. When someone promises to give a gift to a friend, no lien is placed on his property, for it is seen as a moral obligation to fulfill one's word, not a monetary obligation. Concerning a pledge to tzedakah, the poskim debate whether fulfilling one's word should be viewed as a moral obligation or as a more severe monetary obligation, comparable to owing someone money. If the pledge to tzedakah is considered a monetary obligation, then the iser of ribbis would apply. But if it is a moral obligation, then there is no iser of ribbis. This person is therefore in a quandary. According to the poskim who rule that ribbis does not apply, he is obligated to fulfill his pledge, including the added amount. But according to those who do apply the iser of ribbis, he is prohibited to give the added amount he had pledged. The solution, therefore, is the following. At first, he should only pay the amount of the original pledges. The following day, he should give the added amount he had pledged and stipulate, if there is no iser of ribbis, then I am paying to fulfill my word. However, if there is an iser of ribbis, I am now donating this money to tzedakah unrelated to my previous statement. As such, he will be giving the money without any concern. One may ask, how is this different than giving a gift after returning a loan, which is forbidden? The answer is, usually we assume that the gift is being given for the loan, and is therefore a form of ribbis. Here, the money is being given due to a suffix that he may be obligated to give, and therefore it has no resemblance to ribbis. Chaf Zayin Adar. The Gaon Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natan Zon was of the great Rabbonim and Poiskim in the 19th century. He was the Rav in Lvov, Lemberg, and people from far and wide would send him shailas and ask for his askamas for their sfarim. Among the many sfarim he had written, his most well-known series of sfarim is a set of responsa titled Shoyel Umeshiv. He was also a great askin and activist and did much for the Yidden at the time. He passed away on Chaf Zayin Adar Tofresh Lamed Hei, 1875. On one particular Purim, Rabbi Yosef Shaul saw an affluent man who was also very learned, sitting and learning Torah in the Beis Medrash. The Gaon went over and reprimanded him, "Everything has its time and place. Now you should be in your home with a plate of money and distributing tzedakah to the poor." While Rabbi Yosef Shaul was quite well off, he was not familiar with the various currencies, since his wife Adol managed all the money so that he could dedicate himself to Torah. One Erev Yom Kippur, his wife gave him a golden coin to give as a donation to the shul, and a copper coin to pay the shamash. Mistakenly, the Gaon gave the golden coin to the shamash, whose eyes lit up as he heaped thanks and blessing on the Rav, and the copper coin he gave to the gabbai of the shul, who was not very happy with the small donation. When the gabbai's complaint reached the Rebbetzin, she asked her husband how he had divided the donations. But the Gaon insisted that he had done the right thing. I gave the larger coin to the shul and the smaller coin to the shamish. Kibud Avvaim. The Rebbe's Kibud Avvaim was unparalleled. Rebbe Tzinchana revealed to Rebbe Eresh Rosenberg of Eretz Yisrael during a visit he paid her in 5718 that Rebbe never turned his back to his parents since he was a child. Even after the Rebbe accepted the yoke of the Nesias, despite an extremely demanding schedule, he would visit his mother every day and spend a significant amount of time with her. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, it was beautiful to watch the Rebbe help his elderly mother down the stairs from Shul and walk her to her home on President Street. When Rebbe Yair Steinmetz asked the Rebbe to speak out against smoking, the Rebbe answered that he could not. One of the reasons the Rebbe gave was that his father Reb Levick had smoked. It would therefore not be in the spirit of Kibud Av to condemn it publicly.